Steve and Jill here.
Hello.
Welcome to the Land Academy Show, entertaining land investment talk. I'm Stephen Jack Butella.
And I'm Jill DeWitt, broadcasting from sunny Southern California.
Today, Jill and I talk about this whole thing should come naturally, not too forced.
Do you want me to share now?
Or
do you want me to share at the meat of the show part?
Go ahead.
I do not agree with this title. And I have to share that right before this show started, Stephen came to me and said, oh, hey, by the way, I picked this one for you. And I, you know, just heads up, this is kind of your show, kind of your thing. And I looked at the title and I said, this is not at all how I would word this. I don't agree with the title. And so I will expand on that here in a few minutes.
At which time I click the red record button and here we are.
He said, too late. Here
it
goes.
Before we get into it, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the landacademy.com online community. It's free.
Okay. Merritt asks, I'm wondering what others' experiences have been using only one website to buy and sell versus two separate websites. I noticed that at least a few Land Academy members have combined websites, and I'm curious if y'all started off that way. More importantly, though, I thought it might add unnecessary leverage to the potential seller for negotiation price, in parentheses, if they see you have a similar property for sale in the same county, for instance, it might give them more gumption to bargain you up, in parentheses. But I'm finding that two separate websites, business names, phone numbers, etc., is a bit ridiculous for a simpleton such as myself to keep up with, not to mention the cost of maintenance, rather spending it on advertising or selling. I'm certainly willing to keep two going, but in the interest of minimalization, thought it might be worth asking the group's opinion. It would be great to hear if anyone has started off with two and then dropped one. Has your negotiating with potential sellers gotten more difficult / expensive?
What do you think, Joe?
Well, we still have two. We have a shell of one from years ago that's still there that I'm not afraid of it. Let me back up. We've done two, and we consistently maintain two. One is, like I said, it's the sellings for the buyers, or the sellers, I should say, to look up and see that, because they may have an old letter from 2005. They want to go to that website. It needs to still be there, and it is. And they
can
look and see. For consistency purposes, it's there. Now, we also have a totally different, totally separate land selling website. And let me add this piece in the middle. If they Google our names, they'll pop up at both places. They're going to, it takes them 5 minutes to Google us. It takes them 5 minutes to Google us and find out
who we are,
who we are, and what we're selling, and all of that. So I'm not afraid of it, and it's never come up. If anything, it's always added value to the land sellers, because they look at us going, oh wow, this is their business, look at all these properties they've got going. I've never had anyone dig down deep and say, hey, I see you bought a property, you know, 2 miles away, and you're selling it for this price, so I want this price, you know, I want X. So what do you
here's
think?
Here's what's going to happen. And if you actually study this podcast to learn about buying and selling land, then now's the time for you to stop what you're doing and get a paper and pencil out and take notes. For the rest of you, now's the time to just give me a minute.
Is that me?
I'll be back. What's going to happen is this. You're going to start off checking really see if this works. And you're going to have a website like we tell you to do, with a phone number, and you send a bunch of letters out, and you're going to find out it works. Some version of it for you works. That's going to be your main acquisition website for the rest of your life, because you never want to change your phone number, and you never want to change that web address.
Or your physical address.
Physical address, because they mail letters back. Because people will send these letters back to you for decades. We get letters back from the early 2000s every week.
It's hilarious.
What will then happen is that you will say at some point, well, it would be better if I have a sales side website, because it just would be better, because it's a marketing function. They're two separate, completely different marketing functions, but you shouldn't start out with two or three websites. You start out with one. That website that you've sold now 40, 50, 80 properties on under xyznamecom, you're going to realize that well, wait, I sent all these letters out and that site's doing great. And that site is great for infill lots in Kansas City. But I sent a mailer out in Colorado just to check, and I'm randomly picking these names. And I'm buying 40-acre properties like nobody's business out there. And I'm subdividing them, and it's just a whole different market. Maybe I should put those in a different LLC. Start a separate little side thing over here. Because the infill lot Kansas people don't care one bit about these big acreage properties in Colorado. Fast forward 2 years. I love buying houses in Boston. My aunt lives there. She goes and looks at them. I'm now a House Academy member. So you see where I'm going with this. That acquisition site, though, will always stay the same. And it can't go down because you've spent now tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars on mail. And you never want to throw away that old. So to Aunt Merritt, you need two websites. You don't need them. There's some people in this group, Merritt, I'm not sure if it's one or not. And there's just generally people that go into that travel along the path in life that they do not want to spend $5. So it costs $8 to $10 a year to keep a domain. And I think the phone numbers, you could make it free. But somebody told me a quote recently, and I've been saying it over and over in my head. It really makes a lot of sense to me, even with all the business experience I have. You cannot cut your way to profitability. Big businesses don't sit around and say, how are we going to cut costs to make it? They sit around and say, let's lean out temporarily, spend a bunch of money on X and Y and Z, see which one works. X, maybe all three of them work, X and Y and Z. And then let's see what we got in 6 months and where we're going to go. So cutting away websites and cutting away all this stuff just for some reason is you're going to get hurt in the end. Am I saying recklessly spend? Absolutely not. Never do that. But you have to grow.
I'm wondering why this is a big deal right now, too.
Me too. It's all the way it's written. It's like I really am trying to save $5 a month.
That's what I'm wondering.
And I'm wondering how hard it is to maintain two websites. I think you could do that in your sleep.
Yes. Especially the acquisition website. It should be kind of just stagnant, if you will. You're not posting any new things there. You're not changing anything. If it needs a refresh now and then, I get it. Mm-hmm. You know, bring it from, 5 years ago to current after a while. That's no big deal. Or, hey, I did an updated logo or something. No big deal. But it should just stay the same. And then they're selling one. That's the one that gets all the attention.
I also read this recently. Starting a business, a very worthwhile business that can pay your bills for the rest of your life, has never been cheaper.
It's true.
And more accessible to anybody any background in any corner of this planet.
Well, particularly here in the United States.
Yeah.
I really think here in the United States, I know here in the United States, we have huge advantages. In other countries, you can't go up and start a business this fast.
You can. In most countries, I agree with you, Joe, but in most countries, you can slap a website up and sell some baskets that you make on eBay or Etsy or all that. Her point was, this is an academia, she's a politician and academic, and she said, and she's right, we live in the greatest capitalistic time there ever was. You can start a company for literally for like $12, literally $12, and probably 5 hours of your time.
Okay. I love your numbers. I got to tell you.
Okay, well, let's look at
my numbers. Everything is $100. Everything costs $100, and everything sells for $1 million.
Oh my gosh!
Maybe not a million. I bought it for $100 and I sold it for $10,000. Those are your figures.
I have done.
But hold on a moment. For you, everything costs $10. That car, you like that car? I bought it for $10.
Well, come on.
Exaggerating. But I know. But I'm saying this with love. It's very sweet. That's one of the things that we love about you, Stephen, is that you.
No, we're going to go around time because now I'm going to defend my numbers.
You often.
Go on, GoDaddy.
You have a way of just generalizing.
Go on, GoDaddy. Get yourself a .com. Don't flip. It's not going to take 10 seconds. You could spend some time, get a good .com, one that is going to get indexed on Google well. That costs $8 a year. Not exaggerating.
I know. I bought one for $11.99 yesterday, though.
Go on YouTube.
Okay.
Figure out how to download WordPress and all that. That's going to take 2 or 3 hours. Now your website's up. Then go index it on Google. That's free. Okay. Now spend next weekend
researching
at GoDaddy.
How much is that?
It's like an extra $2 a year.
Okay, we got to figure that in.
Okay, now we're up to $10 a year.
Steven, it's okay. I didn't mean this.
Hold on. This is not a personal attack. I'm still actually answering Merritt's question.
Okay.
And for all the people who out there want to cut their expenses, does they need to see a zero?
Wait. What's the point of this exercise?
It doesn't make sense.
Can we leave it at that?
Yes. Today's topic, this should all come naturally, not forced. This is the meat of the show. And it turns out, Jill doesn't agree with the title. So what do you think it should be titled? I'm dying to hear this. I love when we disagree on
that. Like the Last Exercise, that should not be forced.
That was a rant.
Whatever you were going off on there.
I'm sorry. I did rant a little there.
I was just trying to lovingly share a little something, and it went totally sideways. I did not mean to offend. So, you know, remember back when you were a kid, or maybe when you're in starting high school. I see this starting high school. I see it starting college. Some of those times, it's when you're testing out different things. You don't know if you're good at math or you're going to like math. You get into it and you go, oh, wow.
You don't know if you like girls. You don't know if you like boys.
Maybe that's it too. That's fine. But let's just say maybe it's math. You know, you take classes. That's my point. You take a class thinking, I love art. I want to be an artist. You take an art class. You realize, holy cow, I stink at art.
Uh-huh.
You know,
I like where this is going.
Right? For me, I tell you, one of the things that intrigued me that I really liked, and who knew, and I probably should have continued down this path, but here I am and I'm doing just fine. For me, it was physics. I remember taking physics in high school and I thought, oh, this is, you know, I had to fill a hole. You know what? I took physics actually because it was the only way to get out of biology. I was freaked out about biology and the whole dissecting of frogs. So I took physics. This is the whole point here. Well, I got into physics. Who knew, A, I could get it. B, I understood all those formulas. C, I loved it. Doing the tinker tape thing back then and having these water machines on our tables and studying waves. And I got into all of that. I loved it. And who knew? So it's interesting. You come along. There's times I think in your life, and we, college is our first one, or high school, when we're testing the water, and you find out, wow, I'm good at that. You know, this really comes naturally. And who knew?
Yeah.
I would do that. Like, what was your? Did you have an aha moment in some class? Was there anything that you tested? Okay, what was it?
So I was just naturally good at math.
When did you figure this out?
I figured it out at probably very late in high school and very early in college, and math and accounting and all that stuff. Just, it wasn't that I figured that I liked it. It just was so easy for me. It was silly.
Did you have a class, or do you remember classes where you said, oh my gosh, I'm getting A's? Like, did you have a moment where you're like, I'm a little embarrassed to tell my friends I got another A and I didn't even study this time, and they're over there upset, staring at their D minuses going, what the heck do I do?
That and, yes, and computers too. So, I mean, I'm old enough where we had computers in school that had cards. Mm-hmm. And I was just naturally good at it. Yeah, I covered up my computer geek thing.
Did you spend any more time on it that you thought than your peers?
Oh my God, I was in there after school as much as I could go.
Did you need to spend any more time on it?
No, I loved it.
I
was there just
because
I wanted to.
Okay.
And the computer teacher was really pretty.
So it did come naturally to you.
Yeah.
And you got it. So there's two things I want to cover on this show. That's one, and thank you for sharing that. And I think, I hope all our listeners now understand where I'm going with that. There are some things that you don't even know until you're in it that just come naturally. And I always share and remind everyone that when it does, run with it. You know, you're not cheating. Sometimes too, some people kind of go, oh, like I'm doing it wrong. Like if say, like your class where you're getting A's, sometimes I've been in the situation, I kind of feel a little bit bad going, well, shucks, what can I help them? I'm feeling a little guilty. I'm a little embarrassed. I don't want to make them feel stupid, but I feel like this is like a no brainer, right? Yeah. Don't you feel like that sometimes?
You're like, I want to go. You're telling a great story here.
Thank you.
I really can identify with everything you're saying because I've been on both of that. I've been the stupid person and the smart person.
Right. You know, and you're embarrassed a little bit if you don't get it. And then if you do get it, you're a little embarrassed. Like, why doesn't everybody get this? Duh. No, it's, there's things that are inside of us that are innate that we are good at. And man, if you find that, for me, that's the best thing on the planet. If you figure out what that is, take it and run with it. You should never feel guilty. Don't feel bad. Don't try to make it harder on yourself. Like, well, maybe I should put in 10 more hours like everybody else does. You know, nah,
use it. This is good
advice. Yeah, use it and run with it. So that's the first point I want to make. And for a lot of our members, that's how they are. Because that's how you are. That's how I am. I started way early on understanding property, understanding how it worked, understanding the math, understanding what zoning was from a child, from where I grew up.
Me too, Jill.
From my dad, from my environment.
Me too.
So I think it was two things. Well, I was, because of my environment and my dad, I was, got to hear about this stuff. And then B, it just came to me. I'm like, well, why doesn't everybody understand this? This makes perfect sense to me.
Right.
I never, ever questioned buying a piece of dirt with nothing on it and reselling a piece of dirt. I don't think
never questioned it as profitable and possible and all of that.
Yeah.
Me too.
Because that guy wanted to get rid of it. I mark it up. Isn't that business today, by the way? I mean, I could have a sunglass shop. I'm going to buy it cheap. Yep. I'm going to mark it up, sell it for more. I'm not changing it in any way. I'm just reselling it. That's normal for me. And I see land and properties the exact same way like you do. So for a lot of our members, yay. And that's, I think, which is great. They get it. They understand it. They're right in. So the only thing that I did not agree with about this topic was it should be that way. I don't think it should be that way.
How should it be?
I think that there are people that maybe they really want to be an attorney.
That was my next question for you. Have you ever really wanted to be something and then you either A, just found out you couldn't do it because you weren't good enough at it, or it just came too hard for you, or two, you ended up getting into it and then finding out, oh, this is not all it's cracked up to be.
Yeah, absolutely. Totally. And you know, a lot of it was high school, not even just high school classes, actually it was jobs.
Yeah.
I was in one back in the day when I worked at American Airlines for years doing that kind of job. One of the things that they did was a program when you wanted maybe transfer to do a job or try something out for even for like a promotion, you could go it was called a walk a mile, where you could go have a day off with pay and go to that place and work side by side with the person that you think you want that job. And what was really funny, it was called yield management back then. And I thought this was the coolest job on the planet. I wanted to be the one behind the scenes figuring out the math of and pricing seats and filling up the plane and all that was involved in the budgeting. I thought this was cool.
Yield maximization, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I went to Dallas and spent a day with a person in yield management. I came back from that saying, that it's awful. I could never do that job.
That's a great
talk perk. About boring. You don't talk to anybody. The cube, and I'm like, it was great because I was lucky that I could go do that and see, do I really want to do this? That's not what I thought it was.
Yeah.
So there you go. And I still, to this day, if I talk to people that are trying to make career changes, they think they really want to do something, I always encourage somebody, find a mentor who's there and talk to them. Really find out what the job is. See if it's really what you want to do. Then use them, by the way. Now you've got a mentor to fast path you, to tell you, here's what I did right. Here's what I did wrong.
Sure.
Here's how I can get to be like me in less than 10 years, you know, kind of a thing.
Yep.
So this should come naturally, not forced. Does not apply to everybody because I do think you can overcome things. Because I have had things that, you know what, I'll tell you right now, one of them, Stephen, honestly, I always used spreadsheets and Excel and formulas and things like that, but not to the extent that I use it today. And I am, I'm over it now. There's so many things that we use in our world that I know that when I sat down and I was looking at data for the first time, I was always been great on the phones. I could always do that, no problem.
And do
I could
enjoy
talk
it.
To the sellers, all that stuff.
That was
totally
one of my
enjoy
questions
it.
Here too. I have a
sure.
bunch of questions for you.
Never had a problem with that. But then it came to the behind the scenes part, the paperwork part and everything. Oh, that was kind of hard for me. I didn't like it. But you know what? Even though I didn't like it, I overcame it. I got there. So maybe I kind of had to force myself. I kind of did. And I overcame it. And I'm okay now. So I want everyone to know that if it doesn't come naturally, you kind of can force it. But it's going to take commitment to get you there.
Good. I have a bunch of questions for you. We are going to go over in time, and I don't care, do you?
No, not at all.
So there's a bunch of stuff that you do for in the course of a day.
Yes.
Some of it has to do with buying and selling houses and land, and all. Some of it has to do with all kinds of other stuff in the role that you're in right now. What can't you stand? I mean, is there some responsibility that you
yeah.
have? And then on the flip side, I want you to answer what you just love and you can't wait. What order do you do it in? How do you get through it all? What do you tell yourself? Let us in.
Okay. I am going to let you in. This is stuff that we haven't talked about. One of the things that's part of my job title right now is COO is being a COO. So, and as a COO, you sometimes, well, all the time, have to manage your team. And you have to sometimes not be their best. Well, you have to be the boss. And I'll be honest with you, this might come as a surprise. I don't like being the boss.
I know that.
Okay, you know that?
Deep down, I know.
All right.
I know that.
I'm not sure if everybody listening knows that. I don't like it.
I can't stand it.
I hate being the boss.
I'm not good at it.
I want to goof off. I want somebody else to be in charge too. And I just want to be over here doing my thing. But I can't. I'm the best person for the job right now.
That's right.
So that's something that...
And to your credit, very quickly, you have somebody that you're seriously, rapidly seasoning to take that over.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that you're like you're sitting there miserable. You've done something about it.
But you know what? I learned how to do
Does anything make you miserable? Like just miserable in a job description that you
anybody,
have right
Anybody?
Anything.
Anything make me miserable? Yes.
I want to hear this. This is a meeting we're at on the air. Plus that concerns me as your, you know, life partner.
It's, you know what? It drives me to bonkers.
It's going to probably say me.
No. Oh, inefficiency.
Good. What is it? Inefficiency.
I see yeah. it too often. And I know we're making massive changes. I'm sure in every business, I'm sure every business owner would say the same thing.
Every single prop. This is my opinion. And this is to answer my question, what do I hate? Every single problem that we have is related to IT. At the root of it is. It may manifest itself in different ways, but I sometimes, every once in a while, I long for the day when we just bought and sold real estate. And there were, we had, you and I each had an assistant. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't that long ago, before we started Land Academy.
Right.
I would buy it, you would sell it. I had an assistant, you had an assistant.
It's true.
And that was it.
Mine was Aaron.
And we were printing money.
Yeah. Back then, yeah.
And we're doing it now. We make way more than we were then. But we have all these websites and these tools that we're providing and a lot, huge customer service operation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all worth it. Don't get me wrong, but stuff goes like this question with Merit cracks me up.
Mm-hmm.
It's really hard to maintain two websites. I really wish I had two websites to maintain. I have 200 instead of 200.
Wouldn't that be nice?
And two phone numbers. We have like how many phone numbers do we have?
Uh huh.
So I'm not, Merit. I'm not busting on you at all. I'm just saying growth is not natural. It's forced. And I'm back, you know.
Do you think everyone feels that way? Do you think
you have to get out of your comfort
Bill
zone.
Bill Gates feels that way?
Yeah, I think he's not now, but I think he was out of his comfort zone his whole career. If you read all the stuff he says, he's a huge advocate of that.
I think
that.
Sometimes growth just happens. You don't have to do anything.
I disagree.
Well, let me give you an example.
Okay.
Land Academy.
I think that was not unintentional. I think you worked your butt off to make that happen. I didn't.
But the original launch?
I put a lot of time up front and a lot of education and stuff, but I think you worked harder way harder than me in the end.
I don't know. Some of this has come so naturally. Well, maybe, you know what? This is not forced. How about that? Land Academy and the number of members and how our community has grown, as far as I'm concerned, was not forced. It was organic and awesome. Everybody found us, and still to this day, we're not out there properly promoting ourselves. It's still organic. People are finding us. It's not forced. I love it. The right people are finding us, and the right people are here. Yeah.
That's all true. But I see, but the IT development and all of it was not.
Oh, that was hard.
Teaching is not natural for me.
Really?
Motivating people is natural. But
really?
Putting it all into a, I don't know. And I think I'm actually pretty good. Well, we obviously are both good at it, or it wouldn't be working the way it is. But
you're great at it. I didn't know that. So what's the, okay, so let me back up. I'm going to ask you the same question then. So the one thing that's in your current job title that you're really not loving is?
IT management.
Ah. Uh-huh. Okay.
Buying and selling property, love it.
Okay.
Love doing that. Buying and selling houses, especially right now, because of the market and how we're doing, it's like printing money. Mm-hmm. And land will never go away. Land will never go away out of my life.
Right.
I love that. The IT piece of this, managing websites, making sure the credit card processing is working. And we have a bunch of people doing that now, but it just still trickles up to me. Mm-hmm. You and I are both in a situation where if somebody walks into our office and it hits our desk, it's either really good or really bad. And the really good stuff, it almost always happens. So right. It's happening less, and we're hearing about it less and less.
Right. Because everybody's getting kind of, it's kind of, a, everybody gets kind of, a, I don't want to say jaded, but they do. Like, yeah, we knew that was going to happen.
Yeah. And then the really bad stuff, which is all IT driven, like, oh, nobody can check out on O2O now. Like right. That kind of, oh, by the way, Steve, you know.
Sites down.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Car won't start.
Yeah.
Dad. So with that kind of stuff.
I need a monitor cord.
Yeah. Or some toner. Get me started. So it's that kind of stuff. We have some people in place now, and for about 2 months that they've been with us, that are really making this a lot better.
Yes.
But the world, I've spent a lot of time researching this. The world, from an IT stand perspective, developers run the world.
Right.
IT developers right now. They can't make them fast enough, and they can charge whatever they want. They can behave however they want.
Yep.
And that's just the way it is. So you can't put an unreasonable demand on a developer because it's going to backfire. And so there's all kinds of stuff that goes on. It's way beyond the scope of this. But to answer mm-hmm. your question, our core business I love. Mm-hmm. That's why we're still here.
Exactly.
It's really profitable.
What's the one thing about our day-to-day operation, or your day-to-day operation and your job title right now as CEO? What's the easiest thing for you? That just comes so naturally.
All this education, acquisitions. From minute one, I have been involved in acquisitions from high school till now in some capacity. So buying real estate or companies is very, 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 I'm hardwired to do that.
Isn't that amazing? You're good at it too. You make it look easy.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that happens. That's the only pitfall is people look at us going, well, I guess we can do it too. No, hold on a moment.
Right.
We do make it look easy, and you make that look especially easy.
And sales, after acquisitions, then sales becomes ridiculously simple. You know that because it's so cheap. And we just, you and I are motivational people just by sitting and talking. Mm-hmm. So I enjoy that. I really do actually love recording these. I love recording on the YouTube show. Mm-hmm. I love doing the podcast. Mm-hmm. All that's really natural and fun.
That's good.
It's the people management part, just like you, that I'm not into. And we're making some pretty dramatic changes because we can afford it.
Right.
To not have to do that anymore.
I think for me, the people management part that I don't like is the part when I have to be the tough guy. I don't like being the tough guy.
You know,
I want to be the fun guy.
Yeah.
I want to come in and I want to be the one that comes in and brings in treats and disrupts the office for a little while. And then like, okay, she's gone now, back to work. But I have to say myself, okay, back to work.
I have a section in Land Academy 2.0 that I'm recording right now about people. And
good.
Every executive in every book I've ever read about leadership and anything has a section about this. It sounds like a cliche, but you're only as good as your people mm-hmm. or the people that you surround yourself with or the people you went to high school with or the people you marry. It's all about people. Mm-hmm. And if you are going to put yourself and keep yourself around high maintenance, negative people, that's just where you're going to be.
Yep, it's true.
I don't even remember what the show's about.
I can help you. This should come naturally, not force, like the ending.
Well, you've done it again. You spent, oh my gosh, 30 minutes listening to the Land Academy show. It's even surprising for us. Join us tomorrow for another episode, another interesting episode where we discuss. So you've completed 10 deals. Now what?
And we answer your questions posted free on our online community at landacademy.com.
You're not alone in your real estate ambition.
Whew. That turned into a fun one and a long one.
Fun for us.
I know.
Three people left listening.
That's true.
And sure. It's only because it fell asleep.
Right. Share the fun by subscribing on iTunes or wherever you are listening. And while you're at it, please rate us there.
We are Steve and Jill. Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property.